Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Well, our sermon is from the first archive of the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr. It's roughly 12 years old now. This morning's gospel lesson is set near the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. As St. Luke tells his story, after the devil tempted him, Jesus went back to his home territory in Galilee and to his home synagogue in Nazareth. He was invited to be the lay reader that day, and he was given the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. The reading for the day was a well-known passage about the Messiah and what he would do when he finally came to earth. It begins, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." Jesus concludes his reading, rolls up the scroll, and announces to this congregation, "I am the man Isaiah was talking about. This day, in this scripture, it is fulfilled in your ears." The congregation is impressed with his reading ability and eloquence, but they don't buy his conclusion. They start whispering among themselves, "Isn't that the son of Joseph the carpenter? We saw him growing up in Saturday school. Who does he think he is, calling himself the Messiah?" Jesus tells them that the prophet is never taken seriously in his own neighborhood or by the people who knew him before. That antagonized his former friends all the more, so they drag him off out of town and try to throw him off a cliff. But as we all know, with 20/20 hindsight, he got away. Jesus has better luck when he gets to the towns of Galilee into which he goes next. He is able to cast out some evil spirits and perform some healings. The implicit message is that the people who are receptive to Jesus and what he has to offer are far more likely to benefit from his presence. His early ministry reached its climax in today's story. Jesus is standing alongside the Sea of Galilee when he sees two fishing boats on the beach. The fishermen are cleaning off their nets. Jesus addresses Simon, whom he later is also nicknamed Peter. He has met Simon Peter already. Peter invited him to his house for lunch after synagogue services on the previous Saturday. When they got to Peter's house, they found that his mother-in-law was sick. This was before Peter became the first pope, so I guess it was okay for him to be married at this point. Jesus healed Peter's mother, and she got up and made lunch. So Peter had reason to know that Jesus was concerned with practical and material things, and he was willing to apply God's power to them. Jesus says to Peter, "Why don't you launch your boats out into the water and let down your nets and catch us some fish?" Peter, always the hard-headed one, said, "We've been out all night and we haven't caught a thing, but if you say so, we'll do it." Peter and his partners, James and John, are astonished at the number of fish they catch, so much so that Peter says to Jesus, "Go away from me, I am a sinful man." Jesus replies quite calmly, "Don't get so excited. From now on, you're going to be catching men." And Peter and James and John followed him from that time on. One obvious lesson from this story is that we are supposed to trust Jesus and be willing to take the risk of obeying him and launching out in faith to do what we suspect that he wants us to do. Most of us don't like to take risks, even if they are the risks that Jesus says he will support, which means that they aren't really risks at all. Another story from the Gospels which makes a similar point concerns the rich young man who comes to Jesus and asks him, "What do I have to do to get to heaven?" Jesus tells him, "Keep the commandments." The man replies, "Well, I've already done that." Jesus responds, "Then there's one more thing you have to do. Sell everything you have and give the money to the poor." That man walked away, still a rich man. The shallow and ignorant interpretation of that story is that Jesus tells us to give away everything we have to the poor, and that's obviously absurd. Therefore, we have to be suspicious of anything Jesus tells us. Jesus is too much of a dreamer. We have to be practical. What the story is really about is the fact that even if we say we want to get saved and go to heaven, and even if we get baptized and confirmed and come to church, we never really put forward a complete and wholehearted commitment. There are always at least a couple of sins which we don't want to get rid of. There's always some point of commitment, attending church without fail, tithing, regular prayer, and Bible reading, on which we hold back. It was surely ludicrous for the young man to claim that he had kept all the commandments, but that wasn't what Jesus called him on. What Jesus was really saying to him was, you say that you'll do anything to get to heaven, I'll bet I can tell you something you won't do. I bet you won't give everything away. We're not particularly inclined to take risks, even for God. We don't much want to have our normal patterns challenged or changed, but Jesus calls us out of our complacency into obedience and commitment. The Lord has anointed him to preach good news to us meek ones. So let us launch out into the deep and let down our nets. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.